And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bench with Bubba, episode 681. It's Monday, so that means we're going to recap Fab from the week before, plus talk about some potential drops you might need to make that might not be as easy or obvious as you once thought. But we're down to the stretch around here, 8 to 9 weeks to go, depending on our league formats. So we'll talk about that and much, much more. But before we get there, you can find me on Twitter at BDNtrick and my guest, as usual, on Mondays on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how are we doing, my friend?
Hey, Bubba, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on. It's always fun. And yeah, you mentioned we're going to be talking drops potentially for the OC players. And I think it was a good time to cover this with the trade deadline coming up and potentially all these new ads that people want to make. But you always have to drop someone in the NFBC to go along with these ads, or most leagues for that case. So I think it'll be a good show and hopefully relatively actionable for our listeners.
I think it will be. I think it'll be very good. It's a good topic when you sent. Woke up to your idea this morning, which was perfect. So it fits the mold of what we need to do here. Because as the season goes on, it's getting harder and harder to be like, hey, what are we looking for? Just it's not completely just ride the hot hand right now, but it's getting closer. Just ride the hot hand, drop. Ride the hot hand, drop. At this point of the season, so being able to drop certain players, like you said, because with trades, there's going to be new openings, new opportunities for different players that you might want to add, and you're going to have to drop some of these guys that they haven't wanted to, but we're going to discuss that and much more. So before we go there, remind everybody what you got going on over at Sports Ethos.
Right, yeah, thanks. I've been doing my weekly main event-focused starting pitcher streaming article covering two pitchers based on matchups, two that are based on how they've been pitching regardless of matchups, and the caveat is they have to be rostered in no more than 30% of main event league. So it's pretty bottom of the barrel stuff, but we've survived through 4 months almost now. And I don't expect it getting any easier. It was nice though, being able to pick on Clayton Kershaw and Robbie Ray for two ads for this last weekend's article. It made it a little bit easier, and hopefully I can add Springs to the list for this upcoming Sunday, but it's a little break for me, I guess, not having to dig as deep. But yeah, it comes out every Sunday. And like you said, Sports Ethos.
Go check it out. Sports Ethos, everybody. Ben's got your tidbits to help you out there. But we're going to go through it. Ben made a cool little chart looking at year-to-date and last 30 days. We got dollar values. We got rankings and whatnot. So I'm just going to peruse things. In my caveman brain, I'm going to compare like year-to-date ranks, but the last 30 days, big gaps, make conversation points to see what we need to do. But I'm going to pass over guys like Bryce Harper. Don't think we're dropping Bryce Harper, even though he's dropped from 23rd overall to 260. Like that could just – he could be back to 23rd in like 7 to 10 days. Like no one would be surprised there. So I think we're good there. But – and like Altuve we're not worried about. But we'll drop down farther. Olsen surprisingly is getting going here. But let's start with like a fun one here, okay, because I actually benched him for part of this last week. And that's Adelis Garcia. I want to ask you about Adelis Garcia. I don't think it's an obvious drop by any means, but I at least want to discuss what's going on with Adelis, who, you know, you have him at 122nd on the year, but over the last 30 days, Adelis is the 257th player in the game. And if you're just looking at the game logs here, he had a good week last week. That really bailed things out. Because before last week, it was kind of dreary, especially in the power department for Adelis Garcia, Ben. He's still only hitting .214 with 18 homers on the year, even with the good week. So how are you looking at a guy like Adelis? Because I feel like if we saw .218 and 18 anywhere else, we'd probably moved on by now. But just because of his name, people might be hanging around.
For sure. And I have to try to turn off my 15-team mentality here with Adelis because I do have him in a DC. And
yeah, you're not touching him at a 15. Not a chance.
Yeah, it's never crossed my mind of doing anything with Adelis. Yeah. And I like how you brought up the recent hot week that he had, because he was slumping pretty hard before that. He only had 7 hits in the 3 weeks before last week. So it's it hurts your average. He was like 0.91 for 1 week, 167, 111. But everyone probably forgets how hot he started out the year. So he had 8 homers through the first 5 weeks, did Adelis Garcia. So he can get as hot as anybody in the game. And he's still returning positive value. So his over the last 30 days per Fangraphs player rater for 12 team 5x5, Adelis is a $1.12 player. So, I mean, when you're taking him in the fourth or fifth round, that definitely hurts. He's only at $10 in the year. It's still a loss per dollar values, but he can hit 8 homers in 5 weeks to end the season. And you'd be really mad at yourself if you were to bench him, or I don't think he warrants a drop right now because he's still he's still rosterable. So he's 257th overall last 30 days based on the dollar values. And at least in the OC, you roster 360 players. So he's definitely startable, playable. It's just it's tough right now. I would just stick with Adelise, and hopefully he gets hot in the coming weeks.
Yeah, he hasn't been on my drop list, but like I said, I benched him for the first time last week, and not the whole week, so I got part of the goodness. But of course, it's what I do for the people. I take one for the team, and they always go off. If I write him as a faller in my articles, or I bench a guy finally, you know they're going to bust out. That's just the way the world works, and it did in this one. Another one we're not going to mention, but I guess we'll get to the drops eventually. But I do want to talk about this player for just a second, because I saw a fun little thing on Twitter comparing Austin Wells' numbers to Adley Rutschman's numbers right now. And they're eerily similar, like WRC pluses and all those, and WAR and that kind of stuff. Rutschman is the 25th player year to date, but over the last 30 days, he's 399. Again, we're not dropping Adley Rutschman, but just what are your thoughts on what's going on with him? Because most teams don't carry three catchers, but the month of July has not been kind to Rutschman.
It could just be the product of him being a catcher and him playing almost every day for the Orioles. He is young, so I think people kind of probably take that for granted. Maybe even the Orioles do too, but it could be just that he's wearing down, because on the year he has over 400 plate appearances, probably closer to 450. And with 2 months left, that's a lot for a catcher. He's basically a full-time player. And I know he DHs some to stay kind of fresh, but if I had Adley, I wouldn't be – well, his average actually has dipped to 266 now, because I remember he was close to 300 for a while. I don't have Adley anywhere, so it's kind of – I'm kind of in blind to this. But, yeah, 5 weeks in a row, each weekly average has been below 200, so that's not very good. So I could see someone kind of panicking. I wouldn't drop Adley. If you're in a one-catcher league, maybe – like you said, add Austin Wells and start him until Adley gets going again. But I definitely wouldn't drop him. It is surprising though to see his average fall so much so quickly. I last time I looked, he was doing really well, and I think it's just like that summer slump. It's hot in Baltimore, and it's tough on a catcher.
Yeah, and I think it's the team, because like Gunnar Henderson's taking a massive drop this month. We won't talk about him as well, but you see teams kind of do this together at times, and they'll get hot together and cold together, and that's baseball. A season of streaks is the way I like to look at it. A player I'm pretty sure we've talked about on this show before, but he continues to kind of fall, and that's Alec Bohm. 54th on the season, 288th over the last 30 days. You look at rankings. Now, people love Alec Bohm because he has 71 RBIs on the season, but if you start to break down like the last 30 days and whatnot, it's gotten pretty bleak for Alec Bohm. What are your thoughts on a guy like Bohm, who I wasn't the most excited for anyways to start the season, but I'll give his props. Like, the dude hits the ball hard. The dude hits for average. It's just not coming together right now.
No, and I actually remember when we talked about it. I think it was one of the April standouts, because he got off to such a hot – it was early in the season. I remember that. And it was really RBI driven. So he has – versus month by month. So he had 28 RBI in April, 17 in May, 21 in June. And in 21 July games, Bohm only has 3 RBI and 1 home run and 7 runs. So he's really fallen off the cliff. Except for like his average has been 276, but it's as empty of a 276 average as you could possibly get. And I don't know, like Bohm, people were thinking that Bohm was kind of one of those guys who would take a leap based on how he started out, but he kind of has regressed back to his median baseline. At this point, 11 homers is pretty low for a corner infielder. The average is nice, but you definitely kind of plan out your teams hoping to get some more power from that position. And he does have 71 RBI in the year, but Bohm's 45 runs are a little underwhelming too, especially being in such a good lineup. So yeah, I mean, he has it in him to have a really hot month, but I don't know. He's a solid player. He's not as desirable in a 12 probably. He's definitely more of a 15 type profile, I would say. But he's another guy where he's still relatively even value, I believe. He's negative 41 cents over the last 30 days, which is still a startable player in OCs. It's just you're not getting that top 100 value, top 50 value that you were getting start of the season. So it's tough, but I would still probably roll with Bohm still.
Yep. One that's interesting to me, because another guy we probably talked about this year is Nico Horner. He's 220th overall, 206 over the last 30 days. Like I've dropped Dansby Swanson already this year. I've dropped Bo Bichette this year. Guys, I never thought I would drop. You look at Nico Horner, he's hitting 250 with 4 homers and 15 steals. Like it's That is a horrible line. That's doing you nothing in fantasy whatsoever. And with all this, these middle infielders that have come up, and most have been added by now, but if you look in a lot of formats, they're probably still out there. Your Max Schumanns, your Xavier Edwards, and so on and so forth. Is it crazy to think that Nico Hoerner is a drop in 12-team and shallower formats?
Looking at his year-to-date line, I don't think so, because he's not helping in average. The steals are underwhelming for what you're hoping for, and the power is what everyone was worried about would take him where he was going earlier in the season, and kind of like the around pick 50, pick 60. So I think this is the first one where I would say I'm okay dropping him, especially in a 12-team format.
Yep, Nico definitely checks the mold for me as a guy that it's time to go bye-bye with. Unfortunately, it's just not cutting it these days. I'll say Nolan Arenado's turned things around a bit. I'll just give you the floor on this one because someone asked me, like, do you believe he'll continue doing this? I don't, but I'll get your thoughts. What are your thoughts on Arenado, who has picked it up of late, but when you're picking it up from the ground floor, it doesn't take much is what I'm trying to say.
No, it's – yeah, you can only go up from that point. And I think it's probably the power is really what's helped him out because his average has not been good. Starting with week 16, so 3 weeks ago, he had hit 280, five runs, one homer, three RBI. But then the next 2 weeks after that, he hit 167, 150. So I think the power and the run production is probably keeping his value respectably right now. But yeah, I mean, he's probably just trying to sell for power at this point because it's been down all year for him. And but if you go by the dollar valuation, he's still worth starting. It's just like we've gone over before, and plenty of other shows have covered this, but third base is tough right now. True. So it's probably why he's worth playing. I mean, unless you get someone who is hotter right now than Arenado, I could see starting that player over Arenado, but I don't know if I would cut him yet because Arenado's going to play all the time. It's just definitely a loss based on where you took him this year. And sometimes you just kind of have to suck it up and keep plugging away.
And one fun thing about this exercise to me is just looking at the struggling guys and seeing it from this approach. And if anything, maybe it's not always, let's say, drop the guy, but also walking people off the ledge and saying, okay, it should get better type stuff. And one guy I want to get your thoughts on here is Sonny Gray. We talked Sonny Gray. If anybody heard his interview from his last game afterwards, didn't go great, it sounds like. But he says he knows what he needs to do. You know, all those typical words. On the season, 76th overall. Over the last 30 days, 4.06 for Sonny Gray, as he has a 6.67 ERA since June 29th over five starts. But there is some promise, Ben. Like, you look at the Sierra and the five starts, 2.97. That's good. K to walk still almost 24%. So I'm saying walk off the ledge. When you look at Sonny Gray, is there anything that stands out to you to be maybe more concerned with?
Yeah, so I quickly pulled up Gray's rolling chart on Fangraphs. And the first thing that stood out is that, okay, so his rolling ERA is skyrocketing. It's 4.83 as of the 26th over the last 10 starts for him. But his xFIP over that time is 2.80. And so a huge difference, so two runs different between his xFIP and his rolling ERA. And the BABIP has really skyrocketed. It's up to 331 and probably climbing still. So I think it's just a little bit of the regression kind of coming for Gray, because I didn't have him. I know you did, and I know you were benefiting from his very hot start to the year. Like, his numbers still aren't terrible. A 3.79 ERA, a 1.10 whip on the season. It's just been and he's not – so, like, if you look at his weekly log or game log, he's not walking guys. So it's – I think what I just pulled up, the BABIP, is really supported by how he's not limiting – runners, or he's not allowing runners through the walk, which is really key. Like, if he was struggling and he was giving up a lot of walks, then I'd be a little more concerned, but he's getting strikeouts still. So it's tough to, I mean, maybe pick your spots with Gray going forward, and maybe he's more of a matchup play, but if he keeps pitching this way, I'm sure the good luck will even out for him eventually.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm just going to keep rolling with it unless the matchup's really crazy, which means he'll probably do great when I sit him. But I am very intrigued. All right, now we get to some fun ones where I think we might start dropping some guys, Ben. And the talk of the town in April in the fantasy town was Mikel Garcia. 94th overall still on the season, which is okay, but compared to where he was to start the year, not great. 280 in the last 30 days. And we're talking Mikel Garcia, Ben. Like, when the season started, he was just lighting the world on fire. He could do no wrong in all the counting stats you could think of. But now in the season, we're sitting here at 235, six homers, and 23 steals. So what's your thoughts on Mikel Garcia?
Yeah, I was one of the ones who bought into Mikel, so it definitely hurts to see him on the short end of the stick here. His July hasn't been terrible. He's hit .270 in the month. The problem is only one home run, two steals, five RBI, and 11 runs. So that's really not very good production. And so we're here at the 29th. We had the All-Star break, so there's 4 days of no games. But he's averaged over 100 at-bats per month before July. He only has 63 for the month right now. So maybe his playing time's getting cut. I know he's dropped in the order a handful of games. So part of the appeal with Garcia was when our buddy Mike Kirlin was touting him early on was that he was right to start the year, Kirlin, but it was that Mikel was going to hit leadoff when everything was projected and hit at the bottom of the order. But now that he's lost the leadoff position, it's kind of – he's just more of a guy now, and the steals aren't there this month. He was running a lot, 8-5 and 8 in April, May, and June for his steal totals. But, yeah, I could see in a 12-teamer cutting – it's unfortunate because he also has dual eligibility at second and third, so he gets the corner in the middle infield eligibility, which is always nice. But I probably should have cut him where I've had him, at least in my 12-teamer, my home league, which is a little more shallow. I probably should have cut him, but I don't know. The team didn't have a lot of steals often, so I was kind of banking on that would come around. And early on, Garcia was getting a lot of RBIs and runs from hitting at the top of the lineup, but now that's kind of out of the question. So I would consider dropping him if someone – a little more hotter came up on a waiver wire.
Yep, 100%. Like I'd be willing to do like the Xavier Edwards or some of these flash in the pan guys and made that move for sure. So it sucks. I love Garcia as well. It's one of the things I always joke about, like doing shows with Ryan and stuff, is doing too many shows in general, is when I draft the people that know me, they know who I like. So I have like barely any Garcia because everyone knew I wanted him. So it's kind of a blessing and a curse at times. This was the blessing part of it. But yeah, like I was super bummed in April. Trust me, super bummed in April. And I still think he's good. I think he's a good ball player. Like you said, once he left the leadoff role, it all kind of kept unraveling from there. And that fantasy appeal kind of jumped out the window. I'm not going to mention catchers because, A, to replace them is very – I know we did Rutschman. I thought that was just a fun point to discuss the fall of him. But, like, I'm not talking about JTR. Like, he's been injured a lot, and we'll see. Francisco Alvarez, we know he's a streaky guy. That's who he is. But the next guy I want to ask you about is I almost dropped him for a couple weeks, and I've held off, and that is Bryson Stott of the Philadelphia Phillies. 150th on the year, 347th overall on the year to date, or of the last 30 days. I will say he's hitting a little better and playing a little. He actually faced a lefty recently, which was a start, but on the year, 239, 7 homers, 23 steals. This is kind of that Nico Hoerner feel to it, where except Bryson's actually in a really good lineup. So you have that appeal going, okay, if he can just hit 250, he could probably score you a bunch of runs at least, but he's not even doing that. So what's your thoughts on Bryson Stott? Because this is one, it's like the devil on my shoulder and the angel on my shoulder. I keep going back and forth on Bryson Stott.
Yeah, so in a 15, I see someone I would definitely try to hold on to, but I'm talking 12s here. And if your team's comfortable in steals, I could see dropping Stott. Like the average isn't there. I expected him to be more of an average asset. You know, I never drafted Stott. I viewed him highly or in the same vein as like Andrés Giménez and Tyro. And I guess all those guys have really struggled this year. Maybe that's not a coincidence, but yeah, definitely underwhelming. And the platooning hurts too for Stott. But yeah, he's definitely expendable. I think it's just whenever you have someone who platoons, I think they're never a given to stay on your roster.
A fun one here, and I'm with you on Stott, is if it wasn't for the name value, I think this player is an easy drop for a lot of people. But the name JD Martinez gets people to hang on. And JD Martinez, and I'm guilty, but mine's in a 15 again. You say 15s, you're holding JD because you're hoping he finds a hot streak. Like in a 12, when you got JD Martinez, who on the season is the 300th rated player overall. That's on the season. He's 378 over the last 30 days. On the year, JD's hitting .262, 11 homers, 44 RBIs, striking out 29%. Those numbers do not warrant a 12-team league at all. Like, you can find that replacement all over the place. You could stream that position weekly, add drop for like a couple dollars each week and stream that. So tell me why we should be dropping or not dropping JD Martinez, because when I opened that up, I was like, what am I even rostering this man for?
Yeah, I never got JD anywhere. So the one thing that really stands out by his month-by-month breakdown, which essentially covers the last 3 days, essentially covers all of July, is his 219 average, just 2 home runs, 9 runs, 10 RBI, and of course, no steals. So he really needs to hit homers and drive in runs for him to have any value, and also not hurt you in average. So JD is, yeah, he's really been an empty player the last month. But if you go to his Baseball Savant, he's still hitting the ball extremely hard. His XBA is 263, so he's been unlucky. Well, at least year-to-date, that's what his average essentially is. So he's overall, he's returned what his quality of contact says he should be hitting. But his X slug is 497, it's 89th percentile. His hard hits, 80th percentile, 46.3%. But the one thing that always concerned me with JD, and it's still an issue this year, and he's kind of fought it off, even though now he's 36, is that his K rate's really high, 29%. But we're talking 12 teamers, and we have 2 months left, and it could just be a slump. Maybe he did strike out a ton, 31 Ks and 73 at bats in July. And like I said, the Ks were always a concern for me with taking JD where he was going in drafts. So I mean, also too, he ties up your utility spot, and that can be annoying if you don't have a lot of flexibility with your other players. So I think dropping JD in a 12 isn't out of the question.
Yeah, I am 100% on board with that. So I'll be making some changes with that one next week. That left me on the chopping block for me. All right. First off, I'm going to sugarcoat things. Congrats on getting Jazz Chisholm. Fun.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Second, let's talk Anthony Volpe again for the second straight week. I had to sugarcoat it first because I know this is not the greatest conversation point, but I think it's getting to the point where you have to really, again, because with all the middle infield options these days, Volpe's 312th overall over the last 30 days. This is like very poor production on the year, 251, 8 homers, 18 steals. Again, if we take away the Volpe name, that is not a great stat line. So are we dropping Anthony Volpe?
This one's tricky. This one's tough as well. And I appreciate you boosting my spirits before you brought him back down. Yeah, it hasn't gotten better. I forget when we last talked about Volpe, but it's just 2 straight months now. He said 220 in June and 212 in July with only 7 total steals and 2 total homers. So yeah, he's still hitting at the bottom of the lineup, and the Yankees don't have a good lineup right now, which is saying a lot. Like, Volpe can't even crack the leadoff spot or even like fifth. I think he's hitting ninth tonight. So it's definitely bad for Volpe. I don't have him anywhere. I was always scared off by the price because people were anticipating a huge jump where I needed to see the underlying improvements before I was able to buy in at that higher ADP. But, yeah, he's been, like 11, almost $12 on the year is solid. That's 104th overall, but the last 2 months have just been terrible. And, he struck out a lot in June. The K rate isn't as bad in July. I don't want to waste time looking up his stuff. I don't have it pulled up right now, but I could see dropping Volpe, I guess, in a 12. I think we may have been on the same similar sentiment last time we brought him up, but yeah, I mean, unless he, I don't know it. I think middle is better than corner in leagues right now. So to your point, I think you're okay probably dropping him.
Yep. That's kind of where I'm leaning now. I think it's time to pull the cord on that one, unfortunately, and see where things go. Now, we'll put one in my direction for you with Ryan McMahon, 135th on the season, but 457th ranked over the last 30 days. You know, the average is 240 in May, 245 in June, 224 in July. That's not great, but only the one home run in July is the big downer, because at least he provided the run scoring stuff when he wasn't hit, because he's always been like a 240 guy. That's just who Ryan McMahon is, but he provides you 4 to 5 home runs every month and you survive. Well, he didn't do that in July. He's also been banged up with a thumb injury. I will preface that, which obviously can affect your hitting. What are you doing with McMahon? Because he's got that second base, third base eligibility, which is oh so sweet. He's obviously going to have Coors once in a while, but the production has taken a massive dip.
For sure. I do have McMahon on a main event, so I do feel your pain to some degree. And so I think McMahon got our hopes up with his hot April where he hit 305, which I think you mentioned. So he's kind of been back to his career norms around like 250, 240 with his average. And I could see it just being a down month with power. Also, too, like with no RBI production, he only has 5 RBI and 6 runs. So another black hole, kind of like how JD Martinez was But like he's kind of similar to JD profile wise, high K rate, but still really good batted ball quality. The big difference though is that McMahon has two eligibilities and he also plays half his games in Coors. And even with that, so his splits at on the road, he has a 750 OPS on the road versus 816 at home. So he's actually been pretty consistent, which is surprising. I think he normally has a much bigger split than that. So he's very similar to JD, and we said JD was a drop. I would probably be a little more hesitant to drop McMahon because he's not as old as JD and he has second and third base eligibility. But if you can find someone to replace McMahon, maybe drop him. I definitely wouldn't drop him in a 15, but in a 12, it's a little more of a decision. I'd probably try to hold on to him still. Yeah. I think I don't know how the split is for games left in Coors. I mean, he's played more games on the road so far, so maybe he has more of a Coors heavy schedule to end the year, which would help, I think, pad his numbers a little bit more. So I'm less likely to drop McMahon, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's kind of like that Bryson Stott for me. I like McMahon more than Stott, but it's kind of like that. There's still so much left, like meat on that bone with a McMahon, where when we look at, say, a Mikel Garcia or a Nico Horner, like what are they really bringing to the table? Like it's totally a different animal where McMahon's in a different boat. Could be wrong, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. I just want a quick answer here. We don't have to dig in on this one, but it's kind of interesting. Luis Urias just dropped from 182 to 332. He's been basically non-existent. And if he's not hitting for average, he's doing nothing for your team. So what are your thoughts? I'm guessing it's no, but quick thoughts on Luis Urias.
No to drop him or no to keep him?
To drop him.
Yeah. If you need average, I could see definitely holding on to the rise. But if he's already helped you out with average and say you're first in average by 5 points and you need help other categories, I would drop him, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to put my 12 team hat on and it's just a very unique profile and we're at 4 months now. So I'm sure he's helped you with the average, and if you definitely need if you're trying to win your league and you need some power, I could see dropping him.
Yeah, no, and that's totally fair. I had one of my Substack people asked me about dropping Luis Urias, and I was like, you know, honestly, especially he's in a head-to-head format, I'm like, he's doing you no good right now. Like it's a head-to-head points where when Luis is on, he's a points machine, but he's doing nothing, and it's head-to-head. He's probably losing you weeks right now. So I was like, yeah, do it. Like, take the hot hand and get to the playoffs. So I could see that definitely working, especially in 12s and different formats. And that's kind of why I've always been anti-Urias. He's like the rabbit version of batting average, which I think real-life baseball, Urias is awesome. There's no denying that. Fantasy, he's got to run real pure to make things work, and it makes things tricky. I'll have a reliever one here for you, because I've been trying to ignore most relievers and catchers, because as long as they have the job, you know, that's the dude. Paul Sewald, on the other hand, they've traded for A.J. Puck. They got a couple other options in the back of that bullpen. He's been blowing saves left and right. He blew like three saves. Then he pitched really good for like half a week, and then he started blowing saves again. So this is feeling really rough here, and when you look at Sewald as a whole, because I've benched him for like a month straight now. I haven't dropped him yet, but you know, 382 on the year, 419th last 30 days. He's getting close to just being a drop, and I'm letting someone else deal with it.
That's fair. Yeah. And also, I know that you in a 12, you have multiple options for saves. In a 15, in theory gets two closers. And so at that point, you kind of have to stick. That's why people roster Colorado closers in 15s, because there's just only so many that go around. And despite the struggles, Sewald still has five saves or less, 5 weeks or 3 weeks. So he's still being productive in the saves category. He had that one ugly week where he gave 5 runs and 2/3 of an inning. So that really hurt his numbers, I think. Since then, hasn't been great, hasn't been awful. And yeah, I think it was Jeff and Scott there discussing AJ Puck earlier from last night's show and him potentially taking over the role in Arizona from Sewald. And until that happens, I'd still hold on to Sewald. I don't know who else. I mean, Gankel was pitching well. I think he kind of leaped in the second spot, but once they traded for Puck, he was the next guy up. And I think I remember Ryan talking about this on your Bubba and the Bloom show, how the Fangraphs kind of undersells closers. And noticing the dollar values for the closers on the list, it does seem kind of low. So I think they're not giving them enough credit. Granted, Sewald has struggled, but until he loses the job, I'd still hold on to him.
Yep, totally fair. And that's why I'm saying, like, he's had these stretches, like, three blown saves, and he pitches good for, like, a half week to a week. And then it's, like, three blown saves. So if you need ratio help, this ain't your guy. But if you want saves, like Ben said, he still has five saves in 3 weeks. That's better than majority of closers in baseball. Like, that's just the reality of it. So we're at the point of the year, if you're not going for, like, an overall and you just want to, like, cash in your league and you're ready to just say screw it with ratios, Seawall's probably not that bad, actually. But in other formats, so you're going for the overall, he could gut you pretty quickly at the same time. So it's a catch 22. But yeah, you're talking about when we did our first half reliever reviews. I remember he sent me the board, and I'm like, what are these? And he's like explaining it to me. And then the more we talked it out, like before the show and even during the show, it started making sense that, you know, it favors wins. That's why, like, Ryan Walker was rated so high, and like certain closures have been really good, just getting no love, and saves are definitely not a priority in the Fangraphs player rater. Great player rater, just not the priority of choice. Next one I want to ask you about here is back to San Diego, is Jake Cronenworth, 127th on the season, 377 over the last 30 days. We know he had the red hot start, but in July hitting 200, Ben, only two home runs. He's been playing before that was great. Four home runs every month. The RBI is like overall great first half of the year. Second half has gotten off to a really rough start for Jake Cronenworth.
Yeah, that's he's definitely not rosterable in a 12-teamer based on that rank. He's 377, and kind of hurts. I do have Cronenworth on a main event. I want to pull up his rolling averages to see how his BABIP is. Because a lot of times you get these fluctuations in production, and it's BABIP, whether on the pitching side or the hitting side, and hasn't been awful. Like, so his rolling BABIP is roughly in like the mid to high 200s, so it's not bad. Let's see how his K rate looks. K rate is climbing, but it's still not terrible. So, yeah, he's a tricky one, Cronenworth. Another guy with dual eligibility, and he covers the middle infield and corner infield. Let me go month by month now.
Yeah, July's
so, the July's yeah, 200. Yeah, not good. Another guy with less than 10 runs and 10 RBI, only one steal, two homers. So, yeah, he's a weird player. He's definitely more valuable in a 15. So I could see dropping Cronenworth in a 12, I think.
Yeah, no, in a 12, it's the flexibility is what would keep me hanging on. But if you have no one else to drop, he's definitely on the table is the best way I can put it with Jake Cronenworth. Let's talk Andrés Giménez of the Cleveland Guardians. Got off to a nice start to the season, but it's been pretty ice cold for quite a while now. He's 200th on the season, 413 the last 30 days. And a large part of that is June, he hit .172. July is hitting better, but no homers in July to top it off. So it's been just and only a couple steals. Like he's having a rough go of it in June and July. So what's your thoughts on Andrés Giménez as the Guardians are continuing and they keep calling guys up? It feels like they're about to push him out of the way here pretty soon.
He's still playing a decent amount, roughly same number of games every month. Yeah, he has 16 steals in the year. It's all right. The power has not been there overall, only five on the year. And he's not platooning, which is nice, but he's hitting lower in the lineup. He's hitting sixth for the Guardians. You kind of were hoping that he would hit the top of the lineup, get an extra plate appearances. It's not really happening. And it's funny you picked out Giménez after I compared him to Stott earlier. It's definitely similar profiles, similar production, which is not good. So I classify him the same as Stott. If you need the speed, I mean, Stott has more speed than Giménez. So, but other than that, Giménez isn't really doing much. He has Nico Horner type power right now, which isn't good. Nico Horner type average. So I guess with all that said, after I said you could drop Nico, I guess you can drop Giménez too.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like I'd rather have Giménez over Nico, but both are very difficult to roster right now. Very, very difficult. Again, like I keep people are getting annoyed by it, but the middle infield options of late are just dominating these middle infielders worth dropping. So on that note, let's go away from the middle infield for a second here, and let's talk about the new Tampa Bay Ray, Christopher Morel, 190th on the season, 407 over the last 30 days. And when you look at Morel, it's been his best month was 215. His batting average has been dreadful, period. But only three home runs in July, which is also like if you're hanging on to Morel, you want run production, and he hasn't given you any of that. So are you dropping Christopher Morel?
I haven't yet. I do have him in my 12-teamer. So I'll look year-to-date for Morel. He has a .220 BABIP on the year and a .242 XBA. So he's 50 points roughly below his XBA almost. So that's a big difference. His hard hit is 70th percentile, 44.1%. So that's awesome. His barrel rate's 80th percentile. The K's, like for him, they aren't that bad. 31st percentile, which is 24.5. You can survive in the majors at 24.5% for a K rate. It's just nothing's really gone his way with the results. I mean, I don't know what the Rays would be able to do with him to make him kind of break out of this slump he's kind of been stuck in. The power and the speed have been there on the year. It's I don't know. I Morel was going ahead of guys like McMahon and JD. So I don't know. Maybe give him another a little shot to see if something clicks with the Rays. Maybe just need to change the scenery or something. But it's not an easy park to hit in. So he's going from Wrigley to that. So, I mean, when you put it like that, it's not really a too promising outlook for him, I suppose. But it's a tough one because he has three position eligibility, second, third, and outfield. And you kind of want to hold on to that. But it is we're talking 12. So I would try to hold on to Morel if I could because he has a ton of power. And he is fast. It's just that I will say, though, kind of like with my take on Arraez, if you're hurting for average, you're running out of time. And I mean, the damage could be too much already where you can't really get out of the hole. So I guess you have to see how your team looks in the standings. And if you are competing in average, I would consider cutting him or at least sitting him for now, Morel. But I don't know. I think he still has potential to go on a pretty good hot streak.
And that's the thing with Morel. We've seen him go on hot streaks before where he just carries a fantasy team. Like, he makes Tyler Fitzgerald look like tame when we see Morel go off. So that's the hardest part for me. So it's been a bench a lot with Morel, but it's getting to the point that I want to see how the Rays utilize him. If the Rays start platooning him for some stupid reason, which they shouldn't, then I'm definitely out on him. But we'll see how that plays out. Sticking with Tampa Bay, Josh Lowe, he's 499 on the year, 451 the last 30 days. Obviously missed a lot of time with injury. But even when he's been back, Ben, it hasn't been great. Like in July, 186, no home runs, does have five steals at least. But it's been pretty dreadful with Josh Lowe back. Like I've been rostering him, and he's been my bench pretty much the entire time because I can't trust starting him. What are you doing with a guy like Josh Lowe? Because I'm getting to the point where I might just drop him and say, screw it here in a minute.
Yeah, so he's been around for 3 months, Lowe, and for him to be ranked that low in the season, this is saying that he should be cut. I know he was great last year. I had him on a main event last year, so I knew how productive he was. And also, like we were talking about with Stott and some other, I think Stott was the primary one though. Lowe's in a platoon on the Rays, so he's not even a full time player. And I feel like in a 12, you can hold on. You could have Lowe on your bench if he's producing, but he's not hitting and he's not playing all the time. So it's kind of wild to say, but I think he's a cut if you need to.
Yep. I'm with you. I think he is a cut, but the check mark by him here. Let's go to a few more here. We're still in 99th percentile rostered in OCs, folks. We're going to hit 98 pretty soon. So we got a lot of those. Taylor Ward, I've dropped recently. We'll do some fire rounds here. Taylor Ward, is he a drop for you in 12s?
I haven't, but he just had a grand slam, of course.
He had a good week this past week, too. He did.
Yeah, I would try to keep him because, he was a top 100 guy almost 2 years ago. I'd rather have Ward than Lowe, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a very, very fair one on that. I've already said my piece on Swanson. Cedric Mullins, he's down. Are you still happy you cut him?
Yeah, so what happened with Mullins was he had a scorching hot June, and now he's back to the good old Cedric that I knew, and his July is not good. So, yeah, you can cut a Mullins. Yeah.
Feeling a little better about that now, which is
good. I do feel better, yeah.
That's good. See, I'm here to help bring people up even after I knock them down a few times. It's okay.
It's been a roller coaster this episode so far.
Yeah, because this is the hard part. These are the tough decisions that no one wants to make when it comes to our fantasy teams. A lot of pitchers here again. The ratings are a little goofy, so I don't want to highlight too many of them.
Crochet, though, 437.
Yeah, he's been a mess. I'm not kidding. I didn't drop him. I benched him, I think, this week because I don't know what's going on with the trade deadline. But the way the White Sox have limited his innings, like, what is the other team's going to do? I have so many questions with Garrett Crochet. He got blown up by the Seattle Mariners on Sunday, and that was a big Gavin Stone's a big dropper on this list. That's pretty fun as well. So, yeah, there's a few. few of those pitchers that make you stand out. And there's like improved pitchers that make, like, Brian Bayo took a massive jump. Matt Waldron is pretty high up on this list that people might not like. They know he's good, but haven't Nestor Cortez has dropped a ton. Like, what would you do with Nestor? Let's just have fun with that one.
So the thing with Nestor is that he has a massive home road split.
Yes,
massive. And so I would keep him as a bench streamer for his home games. I haven't started him the last, I think, 2 weeks where I haven't, because he's been on the road. And he's proceeded to get blown up on the road. So until he pitches in Yankee Stadium, for whatever reason, I would just bench him and hold on to him, because he's been very good at home this year.
What are you doing with Ranger Suarez, who's on the IL with a back injury, and he's been 544 over the last 30 days?
Oh, man. Yeah, this is the regression that we were all expecting to hit.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so he was $20 roughly year-to-date. Now he's almost negative $16 last 30. It's been rough for Ranger. He wasn't getting drafted as a must-start player either, so he's definitely a unique circumstance. It's a back issue, right, for Ranger?
Yes, lower back issue, yep.
Yeah, low's not good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so I don't know what the timetable is on him, but if you could stash Ranger, I would. But if you have to make a cut, I would say bank the good stats that you. He still has a 2.87 ERA and 1.06 WHIP on the year. You don't want to mess that up anymore if he comes back and is still not pitching well. So if you have to cut Ranger, I could see cutting him. We are getting down to the stretch run here soon.
Yep, I agree with you on the Ranger one, because there's no timetable and the back is a B. So we'll just leave it at that. Couple others here too, like David Hamilton. What are you doing with David Hamilton? He was the talk of the town. Now he's down to 329 overall. Doesn't play every day. I know I had him in my drop list this past week that we'll talk about. So curious your thoughts.
Yeah. So at least he's still playing versus righties. The Reds, looking at the Red Sox starting like the game log, they faced half and half, three righties, three lefties over the last six games. So that'll definitely hurt Hamilton's production. I was toying between starting him on my one main event, because I got Josh Jung back finally. That was waited so long for that. But I have like Luis Garcia as an option, and I went with Hamilton because the Red Sox got three righties. But in a 12, I mean, I could see cutting him because he's more of a rabbit than anything else. And there's probably other guys that you could find on the waiver wire. So I could see cutting him if you had to.
Yep. I'm with you on that one. And I think we're going to wrap it up there, unless anybody, like David Fry, I've already said cut if you need to. Anybody else stand out to you that at least this top tier here, like the second overall player in the last 30 days is Lawrence Butler, if anybody didn't know. So that's pretty cool. Anybody else for you here?
No, I was hoping you touch on Lowe, because I saw how bad he was the entire time. That was good. Yeah, we're starting to get like the percentages really start dipping now. We're getting close to the 80s. And Kikuchi's been struggling. He's a Reynaldo Lopez. He was hurting before he got hurt, so maybe that's why he was doing poorly. Stroman's bad. He's highly rocked. You could definitely cut Stroman in a
100%
OC probably. Jose Soriano's highly rostered. He's been struggling lately. So, Mackenzie Gore is a big red, negative $16.8.
If you haven't dropped him yet, come join my leagues. That's all I'm going to say, because once he went to AAA and it was curtains on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of red here now. I think people need to wake up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the OCs, man. Yeah. Like, I joke about it every week, and people are probably annoyed by the joke, but I'm not kidding. Like, you're looking at this version of what I see, and then the moves I see, it's just like, it is insane what goes on. People are just like burning money on fire, apparently. Like, it's pretty cool. I appreciate it, but it's pretty wild looking at it. Like you said, it's a lot of red as you go down that list for sure. Frank, I see your question in the chat. We'll get to that at the end of the show, so don't you worry there. We'll hit on that for you. But, Ben, let's talk about some of the week 19 fab here for the RoadWire Online Championships, and we'll talk about the that is not the one I want. I don't want player shares. I want player movement. So there we go. We'll load this one up here. And the most added player this past week was one Robert Ray, because he was added in 225 leagues, as high as 318, as low as $17. In 12s, Ray and Kershaw are pretty much available. Almost, like, I think I tweeted out the roster rates were both like below 5%, which is fun. I liked Robbie Ray a lot. I wasn't anywhere near getting Robbie Ray in my leagues. So what are your thoughts on this one? Because I love it. If you need strikeouts, we saw 8 Ks in 5 innings, no hits, one run, 2 walks. We know he's going to be good. For how many innings is the question, but I loved him this week if you could afford it.
Yeah, for sure. It was him and Kershaw who the next guys on the list for who I wanted most for pitching, obviously. Problem with Ray, though, is that he's coming from Tommy John, and one of the things that takes the longest to come back from Tommy John is your command and control. And Ray never really had that to begin with, so kind of scares me a little bit. But like you said, if you need strikeouts, he was the best target, I think. Kershaw's more of a, in theory, a ratio and wins play if he needed help there more. But yeah, Ray just, I think the monster game he had strikeout wise definitely ballooned those prices because he was very expensive in my main events. And I think hearing from a lot of people, it was like that way everywhere, especially when people were saving money up until this point. And I couldn't compete with getting Ray, even though I would have taken him.
Yeah, it got quite pricey in the streets as we got to the Ray and the Kershaw. You mentioned Kershaw, so we'll jump right into that. He was added in 209 leagues. So, again, OCs are fun, folks, because he wasn't added in all formats, which is exciting stuff. Because I doubt he was kept in that many OCs based on the roster rates I tweeted out the other day. So he went through unadded in some 12-team leagues. Unbelievable. But he went for as high as 242 and as low as a dollar as well to top it off. You kind of mentioned your thoughts on Kershaw, but I'm with you. I thought like Kershaw was the dude I'd want for like ratios and wins, where Ray was strikeouts, and if he's on, ratios are there too. Wins, it's a giant, so who knows? But any other thoughts on Kershaw? Because you pretty much hit on it already.
Yeah, they were pretty close in price. I just preferred Kershaw to Ray. Better overall pitcher. I'm not sure what shoulder injury he had, Kershaw, but Tommy John, like I said, it's tough to come back from with the command for when you have Tommy John. That's why I put Ray behind Kershaw, but was definitely outbid on both of them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you on that. The third most added player was Tyler Fitzgerald of the Giants, picked up in 208 leagues, as high as 303 and as low as a dollar. Like, I love Fitzgerald. Dude had a career like 2 weeks. He's very talented, but he also strikes out a ton. This could be a power speed guy, but I had to take a step back. I put good bids in on him. I got him in a handful of places, but I was nowhere near like the max of 303.
Me neither. I had him on list, but I wasn't trying to break the bank on someone like this who like others have said, you said he had probably had the best week of his career, 9 runs, 5 homers, 9 RBI. And yeah, so you're right about the K rate, 38 Ks and 116 at bats. That's it's close to 33% if you factor in the walks. So definitely, I think it was Jenstad or Erickson. They comped him to Zach Gelof, which I thought was interesting. Cause I didn't really know anything about Fitzgerald, but unique eligibility, shortstop and outfield, which is nice. And I guess I could see adding Fitzgerald and dropping someone like Jimenez or Stott. But yeah, I was worried I was paying for the best that we'd see from Fitzgerald, so I wasn't too aggressive with my bids.
Yep, nope, totally understandable on that one. And like I said, I wasn't too either. I got more than I thought. Where if I went into the $50 range, because I had a lot of money and I need offense dreadfully, so I was taking chances where I could. Otherwise, like you'll see in 1 OC, I got like $11. I was shocked. But
it's 99th percentile board, sprint speed for Fitzgerald. So that's very impressive.
Oh, I thought we'd get more steals and power out of him. So it's like been the flip side so far. It's been pretty entertaining to watch. I just hope they keep running with him when he slumps, because he will, because that's a strikeout rate like that'll do to any hitter in baseball. All right, the next most added player is Luis Garcia, closer for now of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Picked up the save on Sunday for his fourth save of the year. Good chance by the time people listen to this show, he could be traded. That's just how this works. But for now, Luis Garcia, Ron Washington says, our closer. That, again, could have been work to be like, hey, come pay for him. We'll see how that goes. But Garcia's the guy for now. What's your thoughts there? And if you want, you can throw in a Ben Joyce thought as well.
I definitely would not spend $114 on Luis Garcia. Right. That was the max in the OCs. Not sure what the main was. But the play with Garcia was to add him ahead of time, like I did, where I had Estevez, because it was pretty obvious that Estevez was going to get traded. It was like him and Scott were the two likeliest closers to get dealt. Yep. So maybe whoever had – I'm hoping this was a Estevez owner, but at the same time, they didn't do their homework. So, and to your point, yeah, he could very well get traded, Garcia. And I haven't been checking in on Joyce, but I've heard that he's been he's pitched really well, even though he's maybe a little wild.
I think it's like 19 scoreless or something like that. He's been pretty
good. Yeah, so he has a 0 ERA in July in 10 innings. And, yeah, so he's done pretty well. Only 4 walks in 10 innings in that time. So not, the Ks aren't there, though, for Joyce. 9 Ks in 10 innings with 4 walks. So with how hard as he throws, you'd like to see more strikeouts. But I don't know. There's also incentive for the Angels to not have Joyce be the closer because arbitration, how that works.
That is true.
So, I mean, he's not there yet, but if he, as a rookie or a second-year player, if he's whatever he is, if he gets the role right away, he'll get pretty expensive, assuming he keeps the role and he performs. So there is a cost in having him be the closer for them. So I could see Garcia being the closer. I mean, that's what Ron Washington already said, but he's old, so he could get traded as well.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts there with the Angels, as usual, and no clearness to it all. Now, a fun one here. We talked about Robbie Ray. We talked about Clayton Kershaw. River Ryan, the stud young pitcher for the Dodgers, picked up in 136 leagues, as high as 121, as low as a dollar. River Ryan threw great on, I guess, Sunday, 5 2/3. Solid innings, thrown 11 innings so far. 1 earned run allowed in like 10 Ks or something like that, give or take. Been very good. My biggest concern with River Ryan is what happens when everybody comes back. That's the question, but still, when are they going to come back is also a great question, because Buehler looks lost still. Miller looks lost, so it could be a little longer than we think here. But what were your thoughts on River Ryan? Because I put bids in, but I was very cautious.
No, I was too. And so his teammate isn't high on the list. I kind of paired them together. But let's talk River Ryan for now. And, yeah, so he has a sub-1 ERA to start in 2 games. But the issue, though, is that River Ryan has 10 Ks and 6 walks in 11 innings, so not very good. His too many walks so far. It's at 14% walk rate and a 9.3 K-minus walk percentage, so that's very poor. I was looking more for a streamer for when I was considering River Ryan. And you'd say, okay, he faces the A's on the weekend. So his teammate is a lefty, River Ryan's a righty. So I was going to see who I preferred based on the splits for the A's. Well, the A's are the best against lefties and righties over the last 30 days or 2 weeks, whatever it was. So I left them at $1. And like with the walk rates, it's Robleski is the other guy I'm alluding to. They both have high walk rates. And the A's have been crushing the ball. I mean, also, too, the A's could trade half their team come the weekend starts for those two guys. And you made the point about the Dodgers getting healthy, maybe eventually. And as like we see with Landon Knack, they love to send guys back and forth between the minors and the majors. So I didn't want to break the bank on River Ryan. And the skills weren't there for me to try to be aggressive to get him. It was just more if people sleep on him and I get him, so be it. If not, that's all right too.
Yep. No, that's totally the way I kind of felt on it. And looks like he might still be available in a lot of OCs. So I might be able to play that game next week if we get different news on the situation, which could happen in LA at any time with those pitchers. Xavier Edwards, we've talked about him before, but it was a big week for him as he was added in 125 leagues, as high as 227, as low as a dollar. In the month of July, Edwards hitting 397 with a home run, 13 runs, 9 RBIs, and 8 steals. Hit for the cycle on Sunday. Plate discipline's outstanding. I know we've talked about him quite a bit, but I just want to shout out again. Xavier Edwards has been awesome. And more importantly, Ben, he's leading off now with Jazz Chisholm out of town. So any other thoughts on Xavier Edwards?
I wish I had him on more teams. 2 is not enough.
Yes, I am with you on that one. He's a beast mode, and I take him over pretty much most of those middle infielders we talked about earlier. Victor Robles is another guy we talked about a lot last week because he was a popular name, but people finished off adding him this week in 110 leagues, as high as 58, as low as a dollar, and he continued to produce last week as probably one of the best hitters in Seattle until Randy showed up. Any other thoughts on Victor Robles, as I know we talked about him pretty well last week?
Everyone thought that Joe Adell was the post-site sleeper. Maybe it's Victor Robles. Go figure.
That's a fun one. Tyler Phillips. Now, this is one that Ryan got me onto a couple weeks ago, and I've been skeptical, and he even agreed that the strikeout rate was a bit of a concern. But Phillips was added in 102 leagues, as high as 154, as low as a dollar. Phillips is coming off a shutout with 4 Ks against the Guardians, a very good offense. He has not allowed a run in his last 2 starts. He's allowed 1 run or less in 3 of his 4 outings. Still 19 Ks in 25 innings. That's kind of my bugaboo, but he's been great otherwise. He's scheduled for a very nice matchup this week. I want to say Seattle. It's either Seattle or the White Sox. It's one of the two. Later this week. the question is, does he stick around? Because technically Tywan Walker is supposed to take his spot when he comes back. That would be an interesting decision on the Phillies, the way Tyler Phillips is going. But what are your thoughts on Phillips? Is people were a little excited to spend 154 for a guy that legit could only have one more start is pretty ballsy.
That is a lot of money. So I think the Suarez IL kind of keeps Phillips safe for now because Colby Allard's the fifth starter. That's
a great point, yes.
And then the other two guys are, of course, Walker or Ranger Suarez and then Spencer Turnbull. And I don't know how quickly Turnbull's supposed to be back, and we don't know about Suarez. So, yeah, I mean, for the time being, I think Phillips is safe. But, yeah, you brought up Ryan and yourself talking about the K rate. Yeah, not very good. 21.3%, which isn't awful. But it's just, I don't know. His walk rate has been excellent, 2.2%. But so I forget how long he's been up, but I have the last 2 weeks from Saturday pulled up underlying stats, and he has that 2.2% walk rate, Phillips, and at the same time, his ball percentage was 38%, which those two numbers don't jive too much. So I'm thinking he's been kind of lucky with the walks, not allowing them. His Sierra and XFIP are 3.95, 3.67, respectively, over the last 2 weeks. So he's definitely gotten lucky. The left on base has been pretty high, 85% over the last 2 weeks. I think on the season, it's much higher. Yeah. So for the season, it's 94.6% for Phillips. So definitely been lucky. Just don't be surprised if you added Phillips and then he gets the blow-up start on your roster because the Mariners just blew up Drew Thorpe, who also had a similar profile.
And Garrett Crochet. But similar profile, yes.
For Thorpe, yeah. Crochet is just maybe just tired, and he's been getting jerked around with the short outings and all that stuff. But yeah, but Phillips, I definitely, he was mostly, so in my pitcher bid list, I had Phillips third, most cases behind Robbie Ray and Kershaw, because I think he is pretty talented. It's just that I wasn't as aggressive to get him. And like the K rate and the unsure of his position in the roster or in the rotation was what kept me from bidding more.
Yep, I'm with you. Like, I liked him a lot, but the K rate, I'm a K rate snob, and sometimes it costs me. Most of the time, I don't think it does. So that just kind of kept me skeptical of him, but I can't deny the talent, as mentioned before. A couple more here. Jeff McNeil, this has stood out to me quite a bit of late. Added in 90 leagues, as high as 51, as low as a dollar. Over his last 13 games, McNeil's hitting .326 with four home runs, 12 RBIs, and a stolen base, 12% K rate. I guess ride it while it's hot, right, Ben?
I guess so. It's another one of those instances, though, where I think you may have missed the hot streak with McNeil because he really has no power anymore. His year-to-date average is still .230. That's what his calling card was supposed to be. So, I don't know. I'm not too excited about Jeff McNeil right now.
All right. We'll skip Ben Joyce. We kind of hit on that earlier. Lucas Irsig was picked up in 78 leagues, as high as 133. As low as a dollar, picked up the save over the weekend on Friday. He's been pitching really good in the back end of that A's bullpen. He's got some nasty stuff with Mason Miller on the IL. Don't think he's going to get traded now, it doesn't sound like. But it looks like Irsig can get a shot. Tyler Ferguson got a save on Thursday. That was an interesting one. So a lot of people, even PJ in the chat here, saying he grabbed Ferguson. Let me get your thoughts on this, because it seems like it's Irsig's the better pitcher. And so he might be kind of moving in between, leverage, where Ferguson might be more the closer, but Ferguson, it feels like a Philadelphia Philly situation. So what's your thoughts on Lucas Irsig? And he can hit on Tyler Ferguson if you like.
Yeah, so Irsig, he's been all right this year. He has a 1.20 whip, which is high for a reliever, especially a closer. It's the walks aren't terrible, 13 and 36 innings, so that's roughly like 3/9. I'm not sure what the percentage is offhand, but Irsig, I don't know. It's Mason Miller doesn't have that bad of an injury. It's his left pinky finger, and he's a righty, so I don't know how long he'll be out. Maybe they could probably get it relatively healed up and then put a splint on or something, and then he's back chucking. Like you said, he's not going to be traded probably, Miller. And I didn't really have a need to chase Irsig in any of my teams, fortunately, so I wasn't too aggressive trying to add him. But, I mean, it is the A's, and like I said before with talking about the Dodgers pitchers, they could make a lot of trades and then go back to being really terrible. And then who knows how many save chances Irsig and Ferguson would get. For me, I think I leaned Irsig just because he's the like he has three saves in the year. He's not a rookie, but maybe they want him. I don't know. Maybe they gave him the save chances to deal him because he is 29. Yep. So who knows what the plans were for the A's? But yeah, I don't really know too much about Ferguson. So it's a tricky situation to spend a lot of fab on. I mean, if you're the Mason Miller manager in your league and you needed to backfill that position, I get it, because you're probably going to get Miller back once he's healthy, and that shouldn't be too long. But yeah, I wouldn't have gone crazy spending on Urcig or Ferguson probably.
Yep, I'm with you. I wanted Urcig over Ferguson, just kind of think Miller would be out long. Like, I'm not looking for the rest of the year type thing. I think Urcig's a better pitcher, at least gives me strikeouts and whatnot. When Ferguson came in on Thursday, Ryan and I always kind of chat for like a half hour before we go live. We're usually watching the same game. And we both were like, who is this guy? Yeah, we were looking him up. And so you're not alone with like, I don't really know much about him. He's an older gentleman, let's put it that way. But yeah, he's got the job done. Just didn't look overly commanding in doing so. Last one I want to ask you about here is Gavin Lux, picked up in 74 leagues, as high as $50, as low as a dollar. I think we talked about him a bit last week, so it's kind of the final nail in the coffin of people picking him up. But if you picked him up last week, he produced for you. Since the All-Star break, Gavin Lux is hitting .464, three homers, seven runs, eight RBIs, and a stolen base. He hit third while Freddie Freeman was out, which was interesting to see. So what's your thoughts here on Gavin Lux, as he's seems like he might be finding it, or is it just a hot streak?
Well, he's not really striking out too frequently, Lux. He has started against a lefty, so that's really good, because he was going to platoon why they were healthy, but the Dodgers have so many injuries. So, I mean, they've been playing Kevin Biggio, which is – and Nick Ahmed. Yeah, so I'm not scared of the Dodgers right now, their lineup. And
you shouldn't be.
No, I started Matt Waldron because I realized, okay, yeah, they have Ohtani, who could hit a homer every at-bat, but besides him, Smith and Teoscar, there's not much else there. And with Lux, he could just be getting like healthy finally, because he's had a lot of injury issues, and I can see taking a flyer on him. He's definitely producing better than the guys we mentioned earlier in the show, like Jimenez and Stott. I don't know if I would. I mean, it's tough, like playing the hot hand. I don't know if I'd have it in me to drop one of them for Lux, because I don't trust Lux going forward as much, but he has. It could be the breakout, like I said, who knows? But while the Dodgers are in this shape, I'm sure he'll keep playing. So that definitely has value.
Yeah, I put some bids in for Lux this week. So I have Lux on plenty of rosters for now. But again, I'm playing the hot hands, and I'll take my chances there. Question from PJ. Lux just lost his job to Tommy Edmond, didn't he? I don't think so. Two things. Tommy Edmond can play shortstop, as Ben mentioned, who's playing shortstop right now. That's fine. Secondly, Tommy Edmond is only DH in rehab. He still hasn't played a field yet. Like, he still can't play in the field yet. I'm not worried about Tommy Edman until Tommy Edman actually shows up to a major league ballpark and is activated off an IL. Because this whole season, every time he's quote-unquote close, even in rehabbing as a DH, he needs like a day or two off. Like, I'm not trying to root against the guy, but I'm not sitting here trying to decide my fantasy fate with 9 weeks left on what Tommy Edman's health is doing, is what I'm trying to say.
So, like, he could go to the outfield, though, too, because they have Outman, who's been terrible. They had Hayward out there. There's a lot of
if
spots
Lux
for
is hitting, he's going to play. That's the bottom line. Because, like you mentioned, that offense is not good right now. Like, it is really not good. They're getting the job done, but it is not good. All right, Ben, let's talk about our ad drops of the week. And we'll start with you if you're ready. What do you got for your 15s?
All right, I'll go backwards again. I'll start with my OLAC. Just for reference, Robbie Ray went for 239, Kershaw 180. So pretty pennies for those two.
They flipped it.
Yeah, Ray, then Kershaw. So I added Griffin Canning for the two-step. I dropped AJ Puck, $18, no backup. Overspent a little bit, but I need wins and Ks in this league. And Canning had a really good matchup, and he could let me down, but needed to kind of take a risk. This next ad I kind of like. I added Austin Hayes, dropped Lamont Wade, $18, $15 runner-up. Hayes has been playing every day for the Phillies, and they have a pretty good lineup. So I think for now, he's going to be a full-time player, it seems like. And my last ad here was Connor Norby, $12, $8 backup, and I dropped Tyro. And I officially cut ties with Tyro. So that's kind of
– don't blame you.
Kind of relieving. So here's my main event three. Just for reference, Robbie Ray went for 178 with a 176 backup. So that's – I feel bad for whoever missed out on that. And then Kershaw went for 176. Could have been the same person, honestly, with the winning bid for Kershaw and the backup for Ray being the same. I kind of did the same thing with my bids. So I added Griffin Canning again here. Same situation, needed K help, so I needed the volume. I dropped Christian Scott. Sounds like he's pretty hurt, and I don't think they're going to mess with him. He might get surgery too. Who knows? $14, $1 backup. So I was very aggressive on Canning this week. Didn't really mean to be. Then I added Adam Duvall, dropped Torkelson finally. Wait, I probably held on for Torkelson way too long. But I don't think he's not doing well in AAA Torkelson. I figured, okay, I'll just move on. $8, $2 backup. And then, so this team, I needed four pitchers for the week. That's how bad it is right now. I added Carson Fulmer, dropped Hayden Birdsong, $6, no backup. I would have liked to have kept Birdsong, but he's back in the minors. Added Randy Vasquez, dropped Ginkel, $1, runner-up of $1. So that's the bad unicorn win. David Fry, I added. I switched him out for Ben Rorfitt. Rorfitt's been struggling. Fry hasn't been the best, but he's been doing better than Rorfitt lately. $1, no backup. And then I added Cal Quantrill, dropped Joey Estes, $1, no backup. Main event number two. Oh, this one. So Robbie Ray went for 252. Kershaw only 87. So a little bit cheaper for Kershaw here. I added MJ Melendez. I dropped Lamont Wade again. $8, $3 backup. Melendez has a really cake schedule. I think they face the White Sox, start the week all righty. So hopefully he picks up where he left off before he got hurt. I was surprised at this one. So I added Matt Wallner. I dropped Andrew McCutchen, $4, no backup. I know the Twins face two lefties out of three games start the week, but I mean, Wallner has great power and everyone was so excited to add him and no one even bid on him. So I'm like, I'll take him. So this team, I have Kyle Finnegan. I switched out Hunter Harvey for Robert Garcia, $3, $1 backup. So if Finnegan does get dealt, hopefully Garcia takes over. And also, too, with Finnegan, I could see him being a closer somewhere else, wherever he goes, depending on who gets traded to, kind of like with Estevez. So hopefully I get multiple closers out of that one. And then main event one, I added Austin Hayes again. I dropped Outman, $6, $2 backup. I added Jason Foley, dropped Justin Martinez, $6, no backup. This is actually the team where I have Estevez, so I was just hoarding closers because I also have Clay Holmes, so I don't know what's going to happen ultimately with those guys. And then I also added Carson Fulmer again, dropped Evan Carter, $1, no backup. And then I switched out Tyro for Enrique Hernandez, $1, no backup.
Nice. Productive week, as you said.
Very productive busy week. Yeah.
All right. My 15s, my OLAC. I added Austin Hayes. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I agree with everything you said about Hayes. Supposed to be the everyday guy in Philly. Good ballpark, good lineup. I'll take my chances. I dropped Brett Wisely, 12-9. Added Garrett Mitchell. Dropped Ozzy Albies, 11-10. Mitchell's actually hitting for decent average of late. Now he's playing every day. And with Yelich out, I think we might see that potential come to rise. So I liked Garrett Mitchell this week as well. And then added Victor Vodnik. Drop Jalen Beeks. This is the not so good win, 6-6, as you said, Ben. I don't like playing the saves game in Colorado, but let's just be real. There wasn't much pitching available that I cared about in 15s, and I needed to improve it somewhere. So Victor Vodnik was obviously not my top choice, but Robbie Ray went for 163. Clayton Kershaw went for 139. I wasn't getting those guys. So I stuck down with Vodnik at $6 and played that game. Bubba and the Bloom, auction one, added Tyler Fitzgerald. This is where I had more money. Dropped Jorge Mateo, 54-46. Added Victor Robles, dropped Ozzy Albies, 54-26. Added Gavin Lux, dropped Reese Hines, 23-2. Added Garrett Mitchell, dropped Joshua Palacios, 18-0. Of course, Palacios is leading off on Monday night. That's fun. And then I added Luis Garcia, dropped Sean Manaea, 14-14. I'll ride that out for the week, see where it goes. I like Manaea too. I just needed to write, hopefully get saves for the week. But if he gets traded tomorrow, that'll be fun. And then Bubba on the Bloom auction two, which I'm doing well in, added Fitzgerald, dropped Mateo 55-38. Added Lux, dropped David Hamilton 54-12. Added Luis Garcia, dropped Luis Medina 22-16. Added Austin Hayes, dropped Dalton Varsho 8-6. I gave up on Varsho finally. That felt good. Then I add Travis d'Arnaud, dropped Ben Wartford 4-3. Yeah, that'll do that. So what about your Yahoo, my friend?
So busy week. I started selling off. I haven't been doing well. So, there's actually a trade in here. So I'll, talk about that. I added Nolan Jones. I dropped Christian Scott here. It's a keeper league. So maybe Jones could be a keeper for me next year. I added Victor Vodnik. I dropped Ryan Stanek. I, added Connor Norby and I dropped MJ Melendez. This is the end of the week. I added Lucas Ursig myself. I added Jose Budo. I dropped Miles Michaelis, added Spencer Schwellenbach, and also added Tyler Phillips here. And then the trade that I made was, never talk trades really. I traded away. So with the way the keepers work and stuff. So I acquired Shohei Ohtani, the hitter, because Yahoo splits him up. I can keep him as a third rounder next year, which is no doubter. And I traded away Pete Alonso, Logan Gilbert, Christian Walker, and then also a pick swap. So I got Ohtani in a round seven pick, traded away Alonso, Gilbert, and Walker in a 25th round pick. So I wasn't going to keep any of those guys. And I'm like, I'll take Ohtani. The guy proposed it to me. I'm like, sure, I'll take him because he can't keep him next year. So
yeah, it's going to be huge for you.
Yep. So looking forward to having him next year.
Like it. All right, my OCs, now the fun begins, everybody. Buckle up. OC1, Bobby Ray went for 129 in this league. Kershaw went for 54. Runner-up, it was 54. That guy was me. I got the bad loss in that one. That was fun. I would have taken a $54 Kershaw all the way along. That would have been pretty
sweet. Well, you're ahead of the guy, so it's not all bad. I mean, you would like to have Kershaw.
Exactly. So my alternatives were I got Victor Robles, dropped Joshua Palacios, 12-9. Added Tyler Fitzgerald, dropped Rhys Hines, 9-0. Tyler Fitzgerald, no runner-up bid. Told you, we're going to have some fun with this one, folks. $9, no runner-up. Got Max Schumann, who I like a lot, 4-0. Dropped Brooks Lee. I moved on from Brooks Lee. He's an average guy. The power's not really there. I think he's going to be good someday, but I was wrong on that one. Admit that. And then I added Austin Wells, dropped Travis d'Arnaud, 2-0. So 3 empty bids, and Victor Robles got pushed pretty good. So that was fun. OC2, which I'm doing pretty well in right now. Added Max Schumann, dropped Brooks Lee, 6-0. That was my only one. Robbie Ray went for 307. The runner-up bid was $56. That was me. Clayton Kershaw went for 41. Runner-up was 27. That was me again. So I had the runner-up bids there. They weren't close to winning. But so I only got Max Schumann in that league, as people went bonkers in that one.
Value Ray and Kershaw similarly? Because
I basically had
a big difference between these prices.
No, I pretty much had most leagues where I really needed pitching. Like I had Ray at 55 and Kershaw at 54. I pretty much had him.
So you're like me.
I wanted the strikeout upside of Ray, but I was totally cool getting Kershaw. Is what it came down to. But I was not breaking the bank for either one of them. That was like, I think my biggest bid was 55, unless I missed something somewhere.
Right.
OC3. I have like no money in this league, and this sucks because Robbie Ray went for $31, runner up of 19. That might have been me, actually. Clayton Kershaw went for 21 with a runner up of 18. Fun stuff. I got Victor Robles, dropped David Hamilton, 6-0. Brandon Lowe was available, who's been on fire, dropped Winsel Perez, 4-0. Max Schumann dropped Brooks Lee, 4-0. Nolan Chenwal dropped Michael Toglia, 3-0. Toglia is playing great. I don't deny it. I think it's a hot stretch, and I'm willing to jump off ship at this point, but I could be wrong. But literally no runner-up bids on any of my guys, and that league is – every week, League 3 that I talk about is just a joke when it comes to Fab. It's unbelievable. I'm just going to start $1 and everything here in a minute and see where it goes, because it's gotten insane, unless it's like a Ray or a Kershaw, and that still didn't go for much money compared to everywhere else. So, yeah, wild time. Wild time on that one. All right, let's cover some listener questions here in the chat. Frank said, will Kopech have more of an opportunity for holds with the Dodgers? I'd say yes.
Yes, holds, for sure. Not saves, but holds.
Exactly. Holds, not saves. I'm with you on that one. His other question, maybe more of a comment. He traded Betts and a Rosarena for Steer, Neto, Langford, and Yoshida. 15-team mixed OBP slugging. Well, if you need offense, I guess you had to do it with Betts on the IL.
Yeah. Yeah. Randy's not very good for on base and slugging, really. I mean, he's better than average right now. But
yeah, if he got the Steer side and he needed help for a push, I don't hate it, probably. 15 team league, it's hard to get bats like that this time of the year. So
you got good volume with the 15. Like, and if you're in a shallower league, you probably want the Betts the other side of the trade, but you kind of flip 100%. It when you get a bit deeper league.
100% with you on that one. And then we had a Twitter question here from our buddy BP at futures_bet. In a lonely league, try to pick up River Ryan, ? I need pitching help. Just lost Max Fried. Thanks. I think the answer is yes, Ben.
Yeah, just be careful, like I said, with the walk rate and the uncertainty with the rotation. But it's an NL-only league, so
You're making that
you definitely have to make that
quickly as you can.
Yeah.
So, All right, that'll wrap us up again, my friend. Any final thoughts before we head on out of here? Week 19 fab in the books leaves us with, I think, like 9 weeks left.
Yeah, I think it's we have 8 more fabs and 9 more weeks, including this week of yep. games, which is kind of wild. Someone in the chat mentioned it. I think it was PJ, but I saw it also. Lane Thomas got traded to the Guardians while we were recording.
Yeah, I meant to mention that. It happened just a little bit ago, and the actual move was Lane Thomas for the Nats get Alex Clemney, Jose Tania, Rafael Ramirez of prospects. But Lane Thomas in Cleveland could be quite interesting. Because that's a team that we always have like moving parts in the outfield. Never feels like they have an outfield. Well, Lane Thomas isn't a moving part. So that definitely shores things up and could give Jose Ramirez some more RBI chances.
Yeah, it's kind of – so I checked to see how their roster looks. So it's probably kicking out Angel – or it's probably Angel Martinez and then
sorry,
Noel's. And then Noel – I mean, he's playing first, though, too. So it's going to get a little more crowded there. It's good to see them making trades, though. Guardians.
Yeah, it's good to see Cleveland jump into the mix. That is for sure. So it's going to be a wild next 22 hours because it ends at 5 Eastern on Tuesday. And there's some big neck. Flaherty got scratched because he's going to get traded probably. There's some fun ones.
They said the Yankees is the favorite, I think.
Yeah, they said the Yankees are heavily just like in it right now. Them and the Dodgers is what it feels like. I'm hoping it's neither, but that's what it feels like.
Oh, come on,
like
Bob. You can be a Yankee fan for me. Come on.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I guess. I'm just kidding. But maybe it'll be a Paredes thing, like out of nowhere he goes to Chicago because, you know, he was rumored to go to the Yankees or the Astros, and then all of a sudden the Cubs and the Rays completed the trade. Okay, fun.
Well, I will say, though, the Yankees have a pretty poor history with acquiring these pitchers and then them not doing well once they get them. So, and I know you have a lot of Flaherty because of Ryan, and also Ryan has a lot of Flaherty. So for your guys' sake, hopefully, and my sake as a fan, he doesn't collapse once they trade for him. But definitely, it seems to happen with the Yankees more than it should, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, because you got that hype train. You walk in there, and there's now 75,000 reporters, and it's a whole different world. Like, people talk about it, but I think it's a legit fact, like legit difference. That's why Greinke loved Kansas City, everybody. Like, you have maybe 4 reporters in that locker room and nothing else going on. There's probably a popcorn machine in the corner of the place. Like, it's the best dive bar you're going to find. So that seems more like Greinke's vibe, personally. And that's, you know, New York's not for everybody. I could see that being an adjustment period. Now Jazz, on the other hand, I think he's going to love this one. It's like fashion icon Jazz. Like, he might like it too much is the only concern I have. Okay, tone it back and focus on the field type thing. But
he's got like 3 years to live it up there, so we'll see.
That's the beauty of it. It's not like a 2-month rental. Like, he's going to be, you know, living next door to Derek or something. It'll be fun to see where that one pans out. But all right, we'll head out of there on this one. We'll be back next Monday to recap the week 20 fab for you guys and talk about much more in the fantasy world. If you have any questions or ideas, let us know. Otherwise, we'll bring you some more goodness as usual. Make sure you follow Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T and check out his work over at sportsethos.com. I am on Twitter at BDIntric. And for now, this was Benched with Bubba, episode 681. Catch you all next time.